Welcome back to the Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen Kennedy. Today's topic is sexual rejection. I know this is a topic that immediately feels kind of ew because we've all been there. We've probably been on both sides of rejection, right? Hearing the no or saying the no and the fallout that comes from that. It's definitely not pleasant, and it's also something that I think we need to talk about because I see so often clients come into my office for sex therapy, and there's all this unspoken sadness and resentment really because of rejection. And there's this feeling of I'm not good enough, or you would want me, or you would want this, instead of understanding. Where is the no coming from? Understanding each other. You know, a lot of times they don't have the skills to come back together and talk through why it isn't happening, why the rejection is coming. And so there's just all this meaning making that each party does that isn't really accurate and certainly isn't helpful. So let's start to unpack why the no happens. And this is for all couples across the board, you know, in every configuration. New, those that have been together a long time, of course, same-sex couples, like it just happens. Because as we know, we don't always feel like having sex. So we're going to talk about both sides of it, but let's start with talking about when you're on the side that is saying no. And this is a no from a desire standpoint, like I just don't feel like it. And that could be at any stage of the interaction. That could be from the onset, right? The partner is initiating the other partner, and you're feeling like a lot of ambivalence. You're feeling, I just don't want to. And I guess I would say, let's look at why. Is it because it's only been a minute or two and you weren't anticipating this? You haven't arranged your day, you haven't gotten your body online yet. That's totally like understandable. Women typically need about 15 to 20 minutes of kind of sexually relevant stimulation before they're really kicking in with their desire and arousal. Their bodies just aren't sometimes as responsive as men's. They don't have that same, and it's not always true, but it's often true. Women need more time. They need more time. They need more interaction. And so if it's a shoulder tap saying, "Hey, do you want to have sex?" the answer could likely be no. And so some of what's going to have to happen is understanding context is going to come up quite a lot of the interaction. And so if there hasn't been much foreplay, really, is what we're talking about, then you might need to step that up a bit. And so you understanding what you need and what's happening or not happening when you're feeling the no is going to be really helpful to communicate to your partner. Specifically, so if it's with upon initiation and the answer is no, then it might be what would have to happen to maybe get you there. And it might be you just need more time, more interaction, you might need a different approach, you might need a different environment. So understanding sort of that piece of it is going to be really critical. Now, if the no comes later, like let's say you're starting to hook up, you're feeling some desire, some interaction, there's, you know, some good exchange, and then you hit a tripwire, you know, where you're just suddenly like, no, nope, don't want to go forward. What just happened? Is the no coming from, I don't like what you just did? Like, actually, like physically, logistically, what your partner did was a turnoff for you? That's good information because maybe they shouldn't do that again. Or maybe you should try to help them understand what about it you didn't particularly like. And it could be anything. Like I've heard people say like dirty talk can be a real turnoff for some women and men, of course. For others, they're like, oh yes, I totally like it. And maybe your last partner was really into it and this partner is not. Who knows? Maybe the touch was a little too aggressive, or maybe, it could be anything. It could be anything. So if something happened that was, when you were kind of in process that turned you off, that would be really helpful for your partner to know. So if you can articulate what that is and what that moment was when you sort of turned and just felt like no. And I will tell you that a confused mind says no. So if there's sort of like ambivalence at the beginning, or if there's, ambivalence in the middle, you're likely to go towards no. But if there's enough communication, if there can be a reroute, a pivot, that's going to be an avenue forward. But if the no came from, I don't like how you touched me, or I don't like something you just did, or maybe you pushed a limit that didn't feel comfortable, then that's about boundary setting. So it might be, I'm not into that, but I might like to do this. Part of, I think, where we get caught up is the definition of sex so often being like so driven towards penetration. And if it can be something else, if we can look at it from a broader viewpoint, and I think that's really critical, because often, why are we even having sex, right? Is it for connection? Is it for pleasure? Physical pleasure, physical gratification. Well, that can be achieved in a lot of ways. It does not have to be this one way. And if the no is coming from, I don't want penetration, then I'm guessing that the partner would still be pretty happy if there was some other way that you might still want to participate. And so if the no can be qualified with no to that, but yes to this, that can be a nice reframe and an avenue forward. The other piece, I guess, of this to understand is that you're always allowed, of course, to say no, but it feels hard for both parties to say no. So that's why, if we can look at the why of the no, I think it's going to be helpful. The no sometimes is just a function of, I can't get my brain online, or I'm still upset with you. If it's an interpersonal element that sometimes comes in as a factor, like maybe you recently had an argument, or maybe that person has betrayed you in some way, and you're still holding on to a lot of resentment or fear, or you don't trust them. Of course, you're not going to necessarily want to have sex. I mean, some people want to have makeup sex, that's a thing, but lots of people don't, right? If you don't trust your intimate partner, sometimes it's really hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to allow yourself to shift into that place where you can open up and allow yourself to really fall in and be able to like let yourself go and get into that space. I mean, some people, yes, you can look at it as, okay, we're making up, or some people can just get off with whoever, but many people cannot. So if there is remaining unresolved stuff between you, then it's going to be important to address it, because that piece is likely to come out. Your unconscious is still holding on to that thing that happened. And if it's not addressed, then it's likely going to show up, because at that point, your body might be holding on to the tension and saying, no, I'm not going to let go. I can't get close to this person right now. So the saying no is important as to the why. And if you can sort of drop into your mind and into your body and understand what that is, then it gives you information and an avenue to move forward. I get it. Saying no is hard. Saying like, I don't like this, or I'm going to shut this down, or I don't want this to move forward. It just, ugh, it interrupts. It kind of kills the mood. You feel bad. The partner might feel, likely will feel rejected, frustrated, maybe angry, confused. Like there's all these other things that you're then meeting, and then it kicks off in you feelings of guilt, maybe some shame, maybe some resentment, like I shouldn't have to do this. That's definitely something I hear from women who've had children recently, and they're just like so touched out, and they've got the kid, with them all the time, and they're just like, no, I don't want to feel like I have to have sex, right? Sex used to feel like a benefit. It used to feel like this fun thing, and now, it's not. And so sometimes it's understanding what's happening that's making the no feel like it has to, it has to be honored. So I get it though, that feeling, both parties are struggling with kind of how it plays out. Now from the other side, the side where you are either initiating and getting rejected or in process and shut down, the partner is shutting you down, that does not feel good either. Right? It's like, especially if you're initiating, initiation is work. It takes some willingness to say, okay, I'm going to try to start something. I'm going to approach my partner this way. And I always appreciate the partner who is initiating because they are sticking their neck out. They're making an effort. I see them as caretaking the sex life in a certain way. And so I really want to honor their efforts. And when the partner says no, it feels disappointing. I mean, sometimes I guess it could feel like a relief if you felt ambivalent too, but often that's not the case. In fact, you went into it hoping that it was gonna turn into something, right? There was like either a spontaneous or maybe a planned desire that you had it in your mind that you were gonna go forward with it. And the no feels like you just hit a wall. And I'm guessing that oftentimes the reaction is frustration. It's a little bit of fear. Like what? I thought I read the situation, or I thought we were connected, or why don't you want this? Or why don't you want me? The rejection just feels like personal. Like this is like I'm somehow not what you want. Or more threatening to the larger relationship is we don't want the same thing. And that feels frightening because it ultimately does feel a little threatening to the health of the relationship. So coming in from that side of things, I guess I would encourage you to try not to let it land like a ton of bricks. Like, don't make it so personal. Try if you can to stay in a more curious place of what is happening with my partner right now that they gave me a no. If you've never had sex with them, then that's a different story. But if you have had sex in the past with them, then what was different? Was it a different point in your relationship where there was newness and excitement, or was there different elements that led up to the desire that happened between you? Like, what is different now? Because that'll help start to give you a roadmap of what might be going on, but also, of course, communication is going to be super helpful of just what's happening, and do I need to do it differently, or is there something between us that needs to be cleared? What typically happens in those situations is that the initiating partner suddenly just feels rejection and kind of goes into a recoiling shame place. Right? They kind of want to take their ball and go home and just say, forget it, forget it. I'm not going to try again. I feel shot down. And I hear that a lot when couples come in. There's this frustration of, and what gets labeled as the high desire partner and the low desire partner. I don't love that because it's sort of like each one of those gets sort of entrenched in their position and then they get labeled that. And then that's sort of what they always are. And I think it's more complicated than that. I think both partners can have desire under the right circumstances. But the person that's initiating can sort of feel like, well, where am I supposed to go with this? I tried, I showed interest, I want this with you, from you, and you're shooting me down. So it can really feel like a blow to the ego. It can feel disappointing. And so oftentimes they just sort of retreat without a lot of introspection or communication. What I'm going to suggest is that instead of totally pulling back, is that they take a beat and turn toward their partner and say, what's going on here? What do I need to know? What is the no about? Because the no might be attached to I need things to be different. It might be I'm scared. It might be I'm not turned on enough yet. It might be I'm really mad at what you said at dinner last night. it might be I'm exhausted, right? And each of those, if you look at it kind of as like a decision tree, it takes you on a different route. Like, okay, each one of those has a different outcome in terms of addressing it. So, as a partner that is getting turned down, if there is some degree of patience and curiosity about it, I think it can go much better because there's likely not going to be a better outcome next time if there's anger and if there's withdrawal and if there's overt frustration that doesn't really, it doesn't cultivate desire going forward. It actually diminishes desire because once a negative experience is associated with sex, then future efforts at re-engagement kind of trip that memory, right? So there's always that fear. If we have a really negative experience, it's always sort of there, and it's there when it's more recent, but it's there, period. So if the no doesn't come with this huge like drawback experience, it's gonna be better for future. It's going to bode better for future. If there can be some willingness to stay present, to stay connected, and I would argue to continue the intimacy, even if it's not the sex, you could still have intimacy. You can still be close. If the no is coming from a reason that isn't going to change in the moment, then the option is basically to cuddle, right? To hold, to be adjacent to without a lot of like anger. That's going to continue intimacy. If the no is, more in the realm of I don't like the way you just touched me, or I'm not there yet, or I need it to be different, or I want to introduce a toy or something like that, then okay, then that's a different choice of like, can you be flexible? Flexibility is hugely important in sexuality. Can you be flexible in your response and allow them to make a request that you didn't expect in the way the interaction's going to play out? So if you have some willingness to hear the no with curiosity and openness, you might get a really satisfying outcome anyway. But it's just oftentimes not what happens. I feel like people come into sex therapy so entrenched in their positions and so deflated, like they've had a bunch of negative exchanges with one another. They feel really sad about their future sexually, even if they're getting along. Even if they're getting along, even when they like each other, even when they're living their best lives individually, they're not that connected, and so they don't know how to re-engage, and they feel a lot of trepidation because there's been repeated experiences of no. And so that can just be this like they can feel very gun shy about initiation. I really do appreciate that when somebody gives a no, that they then initiate the next time. Because having to always be the person that initiates is a lot of responsibility and it's exhausting. The other thing is that I find that sometimes the partner that is saying no in part is because they weren't prepared. They weren't mentally in the space to want to do it. And so if they get to initiate, then they are in the space, right? They've prepped themselves through whatever is necessary, and everybody's different, but I, especially with women, I find that sometimes they just want to know it's coming, and so whatever preparation that needs to be, so that they, and I'm like, that's fine. You can seem spontaneous even if it's totally planned in your own mind and it's not in your partner's mind. That's fine, but I like it when the partner that says no circles back and initiates in some form because it helps keep the balance, kind of the balance in the relationship, so that it doesn't feel like only one person is tasked with initiation, and therefore they can also consistently be in the seat of getting rejected. It just feels bad. It feels bad and it feels hard to both partners. The other piece is, the person that says no sometimes gets entrenched into their position of the gatekeeper. They're like the gatekeeper of the sexual relationship. And so it's like this position of, are we gonna move forward or not move forward? Are you good guy or bad guy tonight? And so it's like, I don't love it when either person feels the pressure of that singular role. So I really, really appreciate it when both partners can hold some responsibility for initiation. And that can look very different, right? We're not talking about sex has to be one thing, but sexuality, the flirtiness, the touch, the showing attention, the showing sexual attention to one another. Like if you gave a no, I think it's really helpful for you to understand where your no came from. And maybe that has to happen through some self-reflection in the way of journaling or, talking to your partner or just, sort of talking to yourself. Like, what is that about? Like, drop into yourself and understand. Because knowing why you don't want it is a helpful roadmap for future. So if you knew that certain circumstances were in place or certain criteria had to be met for you to be more interested, then that's your to-do list, right? That's your responsibility to try to address some of those obstacles so that you're more inclined in future. You're allowed to say no. Of course you are, but ideally you're not always saying no because that starts to have kind of longer ramifications for the relationship. It creates a power imbalance when one person is initiating and one person is refusing consistently. Like it just starts to erode at the relationship foundation. So I really encourage you to think about what are your no's about and how can they get addressed? Like, would you be willing to say out loud to your partner what you want to be different? What if you're aware, like if we look at the categories that typically come up, and there's lots of things within each of these categories, but I like to look at these kind of three general categories of biological, psychological, and interpersonal. So biological elements that affect a sexual desire would be things like blood flow. They would be things like just, kind of medical issues. So if you're having pain, say chronic pain, or the example I give in the newsletter is going to be like menstrual cramps or something like that, you might not be into it. Although I will say orgasms do help with menstrual cramps. But other things that might physiologically make you disinclined, that might be side effects of your depression medication or exhaustion. That's just like stuff that's going on for you that's separate, but you need to acknowledge if that's part of what's happening and are there ways to address them, correct them, etc. The second category is psychological, and that is really broad. That's going to be stress as a general over kind of umbrella term. But it could also be depression. When people are depressed, a lot of times their sex drive is very low. And it's not necessarily like this is depression, so I don't want it. It's not that obvious, but there's irritability, there's fatigue, there's just lack of interest and desire across the board that comes with depression. And so that certainly affects usually sexual desire and interest as well. Other psychological would be anxiety. If you tend to run high anxiety, that's likely going to show up in your sexual life too, right? You might feel overly critical about your body or how you're being perceived by your partner or just finding it really hard to calm down and center and be present and be playful. If you're super anxious and you're up in your head, then It might be really hard to drop into your body. You might be acting more like an observer, looking down on the situation. And so, yeah, that's going to get in the way. That's going to make you sometimes just say, no, I'm going to opt out of all of this because I can't deal. So the psychological factors matter. If you have a diagnosis, it probably factors in. It shows up in lots of environments, including your sexual interactions. So good to understand that. Certainly, if you have trauma, trauma's gonna get in the way of sex. And so with trauma, it depends on the nature of it, but being close to others is tricky. It's scary. Hypervigilance is part of that, and that means being calm, being trusting, being vulnerable is quite difficult. So if trauma is part of your history, then doing some psychological work is probably going to be pretty important. And that would look like, I love somatic work for that. Specifically, I do EMDR, but there's other body-based work that can be really helpful for that. Group work can also be very helpful. But addressing that underlying anxiety that's tied to the trauma is going to be really important because your nervous system, even if your mind's like, oh, I want this, your nervous system is like, can't do it, won't trust, right? And so, like, for example, if you know that you're so anxious or you're traumatized, and the only way you can really comfortably have sex is with substance, that's probably not a great combination. You probably want to address the trauma first so that you can, have better, safer interactions that feel where you feel present and safe. That's just a really big piece of trauma is safety building. So the third category is interpersonal. Interpersonal is what's happening between you and your partner. And that's in real time, like during sex, communication, body language. So it's nonverbal communication as well as like what's actually being said. As well as what's happened in the day before or the months before, right? It's what's happening between you relationally. Do you like this person? Do you feel safe with them? Do you feel seen by them? Do you feel proud of them? All of that stuff is factoring in because it's part of why you're in that space and in that time with them. And so what's happening? Like, how are they treating you? Do you like them? Do you trust them? Has there been interesting conversations or has there been difficult conversations? Has there been betrayal? Betrayal is a really big element that shuts down many people because, if there's been sexual betrayal or, some sort of emotional affair even, it's really hard to not think of that other situation and to trust your person. So that takes time. It takes communication. It takes trust building. It takes safety building between you, not just on your own, but really between you. And so that's going to be a really important element to talk about with your partner. And I know it kicks up shame, especially if there's been betrayal, but that, and we're not talking about excuses, right? We're talking about getting curious about what gets in the way of my arousal, my desire. It's a more strength-based conversation that I'm talking about, rather than just like, here's the no and it's end of story. Rather, like, let's talk about this and understand it and address it. The interpersonal is huge. It might also be what's happening in the moment. Like I mentioned before, dirty talk, like there's also maybe you're too heavy to lay on top of me, or maybe you have BO or whatever. Like, there's stuff that sometimes your partner has going on that you're just like, oh, I don't like it. It's not working for me. And it's hard to say that. It's hard to say that. So sometimes you just give a blanket no and shut it down. But I'm telling you, your partner would probably rather hear the why than just the no, because otherwise they're left going, what happened? So if there's some degree of communication to give them, some information, that's really, really going to be helpful. I find it so hard. People have been married for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. They come into my office and they have all these things kind of shoved down that they don't want to say out loud, but they're not having sex and they want to have sex, but they don't actually want to talk about all the reasons why. Like, guys, we can't. You have to unpack this stuff. And we do it carefully, we do it kindly, but we've got to do it because otherwise you can't just forget about these things, right? You're not going to just let them go. Like, they've got to be there. They got to be addressed. So there has to be some authenticity and a willingness to discuss them, but with care and with kindness. So I guess I would say the best avenue is to really get curious about your nose. Understand what your unique profile is in terms of your erotic template and what turns you on. And what we're really talking about here is what turns you off. Because even if your ons are on, like, and you're going for it, if you hit some of these tripwires that are nose, you're like, forget it. Like, that oftentimes cannot override the yes. So even if you're in a really hot situation with a hot person, if something like no happens, like your mom walks in the room, it's like a hard no, right? But like, there's lots of other obstacles that maybe are even invisible to your partner. They don't know, mom didn't walk in the room, but mom walked into your head, for example. So if you can get curious about what your unique profile looks like what derails you, what interrupts your ability to continue the process, the erotic build. That's going to be really helpful. And the other piece I would say is, if you don't like the quality of the sex that you're having, then your generalized no is going to be trickier, right? That's a bigger conversation. If you are trying to change the way you have sex with your partner after many years together, that's a trickier conversation. But it's okay. Like, it definitely exists. I mean, a lot. I've seen people that are in marriages for 20, 25 years, and the female partner, if it's a straight couple especially, is just like, I don't like our sex. I don't feel attended to. I've been doing it, but I don't love it. And so we have to go back and do some actual strategizing about what do you like? Do you know how you want to be touched? Can you communicate that to your partner? Do you want things to be different in X, Y, and Z ways? So what would that be? If you're willing to have that conversation, if you're willing to communicate to your partner, I guarantee things will get better. And so much of the psychological holding that we have about, I don't want to say the hard thing. Okay, so you're going to have sex, but you're not going to talk about it? Like, what? Super common, but not very helpful. So I'm going to strongly encourage you to maybe do some writing first, get some of your thoughts out, and then ask your partner, like, in a thoughtful way, if you can share some of your understanding, because I think most partners, in my experience, are actually quite open to that conversation. They want to hear it, not just what you don't want, but what influences your desire and what shuts you down. Because armed with that, it helps them have a roadmap to better understand you and to increase the likelihood that you're going to have better sex, which is what you ideally both want. So the no is not, hopefully the end of the conversation. It's the beginning of a conversation. So that's where I'm coming at with sexual rejection. So I encourage you to think about your questions, tease this out to you individually and let me know if you have thoughts. Let me know if you have more questions, and I am happy to address them. So I appreciate this was a question from a listener, and I appreciate the interest. So keep them coming. Okay, thanks.